Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone. Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. That's when we're live. You want to be part of the discussion and chat it up with fellow Chiefs fans here in the Chiefs Kingdom. You can do it each and every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Central Time. We've got a lot coming at you today here in the Red Zone. We're going to talk to Andy Studebaker, Chiefs outside linebacker, and a guy who made a huge impact on the Chiefs' biggest win, knocking off the Pittsburgh Steelers. You'll remember last year, two INTs. One of them he took back basically almost coast-to-coast, getting stopped just short of the goal line. One of the fine young players on this Chiefs defense, number 96 in your program. Andy Studebaker is going to be with us a little bit later on. Coming up next, a guy we love to talk to in the Red Zone, Tim Grunhardt, former Pro Bowl center of the Kansas City Chiefs, is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the offense, a guy who really knows Charlie Weiss, having interviewed and even been offered a job on his coaching staff at Notre Dame, knows Charlie Weiss very well. Of course, state champion head football coach at Bishop Miege High School here in Kansas City himself, Tim Grunhardt is, as they will attempt to defend their state championship as they move up a division in Kansas high school football. So we'll talk to Tim Grunhardt coming up about the offense, who are going to be the playmakers for this Kansas City Chiefs football team. The offensive line, how does it come together? What's expected of Matt Cassel? How about St. Joe, Missouri? What will that mean for the Kansas City Chiefs? We're going to do all that coming up next. Tim Grunhardt here in the Red Zone.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
And welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. Time now to talk with one of the legendary Chiefs, one of the legendary centers in the history of Kansas City Chiefs football. We're going to talk right now to Jack Rudney. No, I'm just kidding. Tim Grunhard joins us here in the Red Zone. Timmy, how are you, buddy?
Jack is probably catching some crappie right now down at the lake.
So, he probably is.
You're stuck with me. What's going on, guys?
Not a lot, man. How are you? Good to talk to you. And if people don't know, I know we've got folks all over the Chiefs Kingdom internationally as well listening. And Tim Grunhard, state champion, we'll give you here on the Red Zone our first chance to congratulate you. State champion head coach of the Bishop Miege Stags, and you will defend that title, getting ready to go back to work on that. A busy man beyond your broadcasting duties, also a teacher and head football coach at Bishop Miege. How is life for you, buddy?
It's going great. You know, the month of June is always busy for high school coaches. We have our camps for our high school kids, and we also have, you know, off-season workouts. And then, of course, you have kids clinics. We had about 160 kids, grammar school kids, in last week. So it's a busy month, and it seems to fly by. But looking forward to having a couple weeks off here coming up. So yeah, you know, I feel like it's been a crazy summer already. But you know, it's been a fun summer. Anytime you're working with kids and working around the game of football, you're always excited about waking up in the morning. So it's been going pretty good.
Yeah, we're talking to Tim Grunhard, of course, former Pro Bowl center for the Kansas City Chiefs, now state championship coach here in Kansas City. Let's talk about the Chiefs. I think one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you this week in particular is I think this year's Chiefs are a good – you're a good guy to talk to about year two under a head coach in a rebuilding process. You came in 1990 to the Chiefs, year two of Marty Schottenheimer, and that football team took off and became a playoff team after a solid 8-7-1 year. I think the team was probably further along than this football team was last year in that initial year. The Chiefs come off a 4-12 year, but a year that I think is wide open in the AFC West with all the personnel losses the Chargers have had. There's a great opportunity. How, you know, what do you remember about year two of Marty Schottenheimer? I would think, you know, you came into a situation, which the rookies will this year on the team, where everyone kind of knew what to expect and where they were going, and there was a real feeling of, hey, it's time to get things done.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of confidence in the players, and I had an opportunity to talk to a couple of them. We'll talk about it a little later. But, you know, I think they feel real comfortable with Coach Haley. I think they understand, you know, what he expects from them now. The terminology, I think, is you know, basically going to be the same from last year, although they hired a couple new coordinators. And I think the comfort level is there. Anytime you can walk into the locker room and you know exactly what that coach wants from you and how he's going to react and how he's going to, you know, carry yourself and what he expects from you, you have a better chance and opportunity to be successful. And from all indications of the guys I talked to, that's kind of where the Chiefs are at right now. You know, I think the other thing that's exciting about this team, and I know it was year, gosh, I guess it was year, maybe it was year two, when we went up to River Falls. It was the third year of Marty's regime, but my second year, we went up to River Falls, and yeah, we traveled, and it wasn't particularly right here in Kansas City, but, you know, it was something cool about that. It was something about it being somewhere new. There was a lot of excitement. A lot of the Chief fans came up because they wanted to travel and see the training camp and see what was going on with Marty, and there was a buzz around that. And I think that you can bring that comparison to this year, going back to Missouri and up at St. Joe's in Western Missouri. And I think there's a lot of people that are excited about going up there, a lot of people that are talking about it, a lot of people that are planning their vacations around it. And there's going to be a great buzz. And anytime there's a great buzz like that, there's an excitement in the stands. And, sir, and gosh, you've been to about as many as I've been to. You know, when the fans are excited and into it, the players practice that. They feed off of that. They tend to perform to that kind of enthusiasm. So I think you're going to see a great camp. I think all indication is that early this Kansas City Chiefs team has a chance to have some success this year.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I've asked a couple of guys about that. You think it will be a good thing having more fans? I have no idea because I've only seen River Falls. I, as a young as a youngster, as a kid basically growing up, I went up to William Jewell and saw the training camp when it was there, but certainly wasn't watching it with an eye of, okay, let's evaluate this process. I'm curious, do you think the players play to the fans more, and is that good or bad, or does the energy level just go up and actually the focus and the concentration and everything ramps up because there is going to be more people watching practice now?
You know, I think that, you know, performers like to perform. You know, I mean, it seems pretty simple, but, you know, they like to go out and show what they can do. You know, first of all, you know, these guys want to, you know, show their wares. And you know, you and I have both been up to River Falls when you had a practice, maybe there were 30, 40, 50 people there.
Yeah.
I mean, you won't see that up at St. Joe's. There's going to be a couple thousand people, I believe, at every practice. And, you know, as long as the players can understand that they're there to get better and do a job and not to to get too caught up in the fans there, then they're going to have a great opportunity to be successful and to perform in front of people. And that's really where a lot of these guys do real well. I mean, to be an NFL athlete or to be a professional athlete at all, you have to really crave and want that adrenaline rush, that excitement that comes with when you make a big play, you have that loud cheer and that excitement that goes around with it. So, you know, yeah, no, I think it's going to be a great camp. I'm looking forward to going up there. And, you know, I've been up to River Falls, gosh, many, 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 many times as a player and covering the Chiefs. And, you know, I'm looking forward to going up and covering the Chiefs of St. Joe's probably more than any other time. So it's going to be exciting.
Tim Grunhardt is with us here in the Red Zone. Tim, you know Charlie Weiss from your connections at Notre Dame. You also even interviewed for a job or offered a job on his coaching staff. He now takes over as the offensive coordinator, one of the most decorated offensive coordinators in the history of this league. Your thoughts on how this offense, you know, he and Todd Haley work together, so that should be a fairly smooth transition. But how much more potential is there offensively to have an offensive coordinator separate from the head coach and a guy that can devote all his attention, and plus the fact that it's Charlie Weiss devoting all his attention to the offense?
No, I think it's a great situation for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. You know, first off, I think Charlie understands his role. You know, he knows that he is not the head coach. His job is to direct that offense and score points, and he realizes that. And I think that, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Coach Haley for hiring two guys who are head coaches or, you know, are big-time NFL guys on his staff as a young head coach. So first of all, you got to give kudos to Haley for being able to really have enough confidence to hire those guys and understand that, yeah, you know, I'm putting myself in a precarious situation here with two former head coaches on my staff. But, you know, as far as Charlie, I think, understands his role. And his role is to get this offense going again. And also, I think a role that Charlie has taken on is dealing with some of the day-to-day stuff with his offensive players that Coach Haley had to deal with last year. And, you know, if it's a serious enough situation or if it's a personnel situation that Charlie doesn't feel comfortable with, then, you know, he can go to Haley and talk with him and be able to work things out. And I think it's just a lot less stress and a lot less problems for the head coach if he doesn't have to deal with every little situation like he did last year. So I think that that's going to be a positive. And I think Haley trusts the decision-making that Charlie Weiss has made or makes with the players because he understands that this guy's been a head coach before. So a lot of the nuances of being a head coach, a lot of the problems that arise on the offensive side doesn't have to infiltrate up into the head coach's office. It could kind of go through that chain of command, and Charlie Weiss can take care of that. And I think that's really going to help Haley this year because I thought last year at times he was out of sorts because he was dealing with so many different things.
Right.
And as a head coach, you know, you have to deal with the things that are expected with a head coach, and that's getting your team prepared mentally and physically to be successful. And a lot of the fringe things and the things that always pop up in any organization, you know, if you can deflate those before they get all the way up to the top, you're a lot better off. So I think that both of them have had that opportunity to do that for the coach. And so the stuff off the field and on the field is going to be a lot easier, or maybe not easier, but just a lot more manageable for Coach Haley.
And the relationship of head coach and offensive coordinator is obviously different depending upon whether or not you've got an offensive, you know, a head coach that comes from the offensive side or the defensive side. Mm-hmm. Todd Haley comes from the offensive side. We know he worked in Arizona. His head coach, Hazlitt, or not Hazlitt, excuse me, Wisenhunt, was an offensive coordinator as well with the Steelers. He originally was calling the plays, turned that over to Todd Haley midseason in year one. So there was clearly a working relationship. That'll be similar here. Two offensive-minded guys. You figure Romeo Crennel will be left to his own devices. And maybe Charlie Weiss will as a whole. I'll ask you this question knowing full well it may be very impossible for you to have the answer. But how often did, and I know Marty was a defensive coach, but in your time, how often does the head coach step in and say, no, look, this is where you want to run. I want to run the ball here. I don't want to throw the ball. How often will the coach get involved, the head coach, get involved in overrule, maybe not overrule, but direct, you know, taking a direction? Look, we're doing well in the passing game, but you got to bring it down to the running game. Let's keep punching them in the gut a couple of times so we don't have that pass rush just bearing down on them. How much does the head coach during the course of a game maybe channel the energies of the offensive coordinator?
I don't think really during the course of the game, but I think during the week and during the preparation on
or maybe halftime.
And Tuesday and Wednesday, and then at halftime. I think you have to, kind of have a game plan. You have to go with it. And obviously, if you're struggling in the first half, then the head coach will go over and say, hey, listen, you know, we talked about this, and that during the week. You know, maybe we should get back to that. Or, you know, this, and that isn't working. Maybe we should kind of change directions a little bit. But I think once you get your game plan in and you hired these guys to direct the offense and the defense, and you got to trust in them. And I don't think it's a positive if a head coach is constantly in the ear of the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator trying to direct them, because then there's just miscommunication everywhere. So, but as far as the one thing that I do know that, you know, that Coach Haley and Charlie Weiss have worked a lot together this year. They've especially early in the training camp and the OTAs, where they've sat down together with certain groups. You know, Charlie has sat with the wide receivers, and Charlie has sat with the running backs, and Coach Haley sat in there, and they kind of picked each other's brains. And I think that the relationship between these two guys offensively is going to be a positive for the Chiefs. And I don't think there's any chips on any shoulders. I think they're really working well together. And I think that's going to help the offense.
Tim Grenhardt is with us here in the Red Zone. Let's talk about some of the players offensively that Charlie Weiss is going to have to work with. And we'll start with the quarterback. You know, we've done a lot of different numbers and numeric studies on what a Super Bowl quarterback looks like. And the championship quarterback, 0-2, since we've been to 32 teams and four divisions in each conference of four, the current setup of the playoffs, basically, the championship quarterback, I think people would be surprised. The average is 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and 3,500 yards passing. So to me, that's what you want to get Matt Cassel to. Now, the weaker your defense is, the better you need to be. See Drew Brees or Peyton Manning in the years that they won the Super Bowl. They had to compensate for defenses that weren't as strong as the average Super Bowl defense. We'll see what happens. Matt Cassel, year two. This kind of reminds me of year two for Trent Green. 17 touchdowns, 24 INTs his first year, then got it going where he started to become about a 25-13 type of quarterback, which is what you need out of that quarterback position to be a Super Bowl caliber football team. Do you expect Matt Cassel to make that kind of big step that Trent Green made in year two with the football team? He was pretty good. To me, he exceeded expectations last year with 16 TDs and 16 interceptions. I thought it was going to look more like year one under Trent Green. So I'm pleased with what he had year one. Do you expect a big jump here in year two?
Yeah, I do. And I had an opportunity to talk with Matt extensively this weekend or last weekend at a golf tournament. And he's excited about being here. He feels like, you know, the wide receivers and Bowe and Chambers and some of the other wide receivers that they have been able to rotate in with the first group, and he feels like he has a good feel for how they like the ball, where they like the ball, and where they're going to go after or before the play starts. So I think that they're all kind of on the same page, and you're exactly right. You know, 16 touchdowns and 16 interceptions for just under 3,000 yards last year, it's okay. But I think Charlie Weiss expects more. And he comes with that old adage, you know, you expect your quarterbacks to be, you know, 20-12 and throwing for 3,000 yards and, you know, directing your team and not turning the ball over and making plays and not hurting your team. And he's let Matt know that. And there is some competition, although Matt Cassel has taken every rep so far in OTAs and in minicamp and everything else with the first group. But, you know, there is competition, and I think that's good for Matt, and I think it's good for Brody, and I think it's good for the whole team that they know that, hey, there's competition at every position, including the quarterback position. You know, one of the things that Charlie has said is that, you know, this isn't Tom Brady. Okay, this is not Tom Brady. I don't think we should all expect him to be Tom Brady. But what we do expect him to do is to put his team in position to win. And he did that at times last year, and at times he didn't. And he understands that. And I think both Matt and Charlie understand that you know, he has to pick up the game, because this offense is going to go as Matt Cassel goes. Even though you have Thomas Jones and Charles, and they're going to have a decent running game this year, you know, you have to have a guy that can make plays and spread that defense out a little bit so they can run the ball, so you don't put eight guys in the box and try and stop the running game. So, you know, Matt Cassel, I think it's going to be a big year for him. I think he's ready for it, but he better be ready for it, because I really and truly believe that Charlie Weiss and Haley are the kind of guys to say, listen, if this guy's not working out, we're going to try something else.
Offensive line for this football team, enabling the quarterback to stand on his feet and throw the ball. Now, Matt's got to get rid of the ball. He holds it probably too long because he can rely on his legs, and he does make plays off the run and avoiding the sack. And you know, you don't want to rein that in too much and have him just throwing the ball away when maybe he could take off and get a first down or buy some more time and make a play. But he's a little heavy. He's holding the ball too much. Right now, he clearly needs to throw the football away a little more often, and he showed signs of doing that in the second half as the sack total dropped a lot. I think it was only 8 sacks in the last 6 games. You know, after being, you know, 42 sacks on the season, that's a great mark in those last 6 games. And a lot of that was the offensive line gelled at the end of the year. They've added to it, most notably Ryan Lilja, looking like he's going to be the starting right guard. Casey Wiegman coming in to compete at the center spot. What do you think, what do you expect from this offensive line in 2010?
Well, let's start with the center spot. I'm excited that they brought Casey back. You know, I think Casey, obviously, is an older guy, and he doesn't have a lot of pop off the ball, but he's a leader, and I think he's a presence in that huddle that team needs. And I'm just going to go out on a limb right now and say that Casey Wiegman is the starter on Monday night. I believe that he's going to be the guy that's going to be in there, because that offense needs him. I think that offense needs him in more than one way, not only making calls, but just having a sense of presence of a veteran in that huddle with those young offensive linemen. So first off, Casey Wiegman, I believe, is going to be a starting center. Now let's take a look at the left tackle, Brandon Albert. He's held down first-team duties, basically, the whole OTA, and I believe he'll be there. Now, the interesting thing will be this. If Casey Wiegman does get that starting job, does Nice Wonger move to guard? Does he become that float guy? I think Brian Waters, as much as Brian and I go back, I don't think he's long for that position. I think that there's some competition at that position. I think you're going to see either Nice Wonger or you're going to see Asamoah, the new kid from Illinois, who they really, really like. They really like this kid. They're not afraid to put a young kid in there. I think Ryan Lilja is going to be the starter. All indications are that Ryan Lilja has come in and has done a good job and has added particularly to the running game and has added particularly to just having a veteran presence. So he's going to be the starting right guard, right tackle. You know, that's still up in the air a little bit, whether it's O'Callaghan or Richardson. I'm not sure who it's going to be. You know, it's always seemed to be the kind of the Achilles heel for the Kansas City Chiefs, who's going to play that right tackle position. But, you know, the dynamics of that offensive line, I think you're going to see an older center in Casey Wiegman. I think you might see a younger guy flanking him. I think you might see Asamoah playing eventually and getting some reps in eventually for Brian Waters or Ryan Lilja. And then, you know, we got to get that right tackle position secured. But this is going to be an offensive line that's going to have a little bit of a different feel to it. I think that one of the things that Charlie wants to eliminate are the negative plays. You know, you can't put yourself in a 2nd and 12. You can't put yourself in a position where, you know, everybody knows in that stadium, man, on that defensive side, they're going to pass the ball. So you have to have communication. And that's why I think that Casey Wiegman will be the starter, and that's why I think that you're going to see guys like Ryan Lilja and maybe Asamoah working with Casey and getting up to that second level and stopping those blitzing linebackers on those run blitzes from coming in. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting, exciting process, and it's going to be a lot of competition in camp for those positions.
Yeah, and I see Asamoah's first year very similar to your first year, where you came in and kind of had an apprenticeship under Mike Webster, and then were clearly going to be the guy the following year and started to work more and more as the season went along. I think you make a great point on what the future is at that guard
spot. And the other thing about, you know, Brian, and, you know, I'm not coming out here to say anything negative about Brian. Brian's had a great career, but, you know, I just think that the focus of this team from the head coach down through the offensive coordinator, through the offensive line coaches, that they want to develop a young guy and get him in there, get him some experience. And Brian Waters is from a regime from the past. He's not really a part of the future of the team. He's not really a part of this this coaching staff. So, you know, I think the big surprise would be that Brian Waters, you know, whether he has the ability to do it or not, and that's something Brian's going to have to decide. To be a mentor, see, you know, I always considered, you know, when I was kind of a mentor for Brian, saying, hey, listen, you know, let's get this guy in the best opportunity to be successful so he can build a career and he can have a great life and he can add to this game. And that's what what happened with me, with Webby. And I think that's something Brian needs to take on as a leader of that team, and he's got to put his ego and his pride kind of in that back pocket and say, hey, listen, I'm going to develop this young guy. And if he can do that, this team will be 10 times better than it would be if he didn't.
That's Tim Grunhard, former Pro Bowl center for the Kansas City Chiefs, football coach himself now, talking about the Chiefs offensive line. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll start talking about some of the weapons on offense, particularly in the passing game. That's next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels, that a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer, 120, a jet engine, that studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster, more ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
Grunny is with us, Tim Grunhard, here in the Red Zone. Let's talk about some of the weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Dexter McCluster, a guy that, you know, he blew out a shoe. He made a move that was so electric in one of the OTAs. That was one of the big talks of one of the practices. After one of the practices, really dominated the airwaves around the sports talk radio in Kansas City. This is a boom or bust pick as far as I'm concerned. You know, I compare him to Dante Hall, but Dante Hall was a fifth-round pick that they said, okay, let's try him at wide out. Let's get him out there and kick returns. It ended up being a very productive selection. This is the second round. In the second round, you must hit. You've got to get guys that contribute. They don't necessarily have to be starters, but they've got to be contributors. If he ends up being a Dante Hall kick returner, that's a productive pick. If he can be Dante Hall-esque on offense and return one or the other, either punts or kicks, that's a successful pick. But he cannot be a guy. He can't go the route of Michael Pinball Clemens to go way back into Chiefs history. He ended up being a phenomenal player in the CFL, but really didn't have success with the Chiefs because he was undersized as a running back, couldn't pick up the blitzes. They couldn't really figure out a way to use him. You know, I think there's great potential with this pick, but it's a risky pick as well. What do you think of Dexter McCluster and what he brings to the offense?
Well, I don't think that Charlie would be upset with me because I asked him that same exact question. I said, well, what do you think of this young kid that you got from Ole Miss? And he said, Grunny, he said, what time are we playing on that Monday night? I said, kickoff's about 9:15 or something like that. He said, well, by 9:17, he'll be on the field.
Wow.
So, and I think what they're trying to do with this young kid is they're trying to create mismatches. You know, that he can catch the ball. He's quick. He's got a guy like, the offense, I think what you'll see him do is a little like Wes Welker. If you watch Wes Welker in that New England mm-hmm. offense, you see a guy that, you know, kind of runs some slants, maybe a couple hitches. Every once in a while, he'll attack the seams. But, you know, they put him in a position where he catches the ball, you know, gets 6-7 yards. This is Wes Welker I'm talking about right now. Gets right. 6-7 yards, you know, catches the ball maybe 10-15 times a game for 100 yards or something. But he continuously moves the ball. I think what they're going to try and do with Dexter is make him into a kind of a Wes Welker-esque, but they're going to move him around a lot more. You're going to see this guy in the wildcat. You're going to see this guy move around from slot to slot. You're going to see this guy line up in the backfield at times. You're going to see this guy everywhere. And what the defensive coordinators are going to have to do is they're going to have to find him. They're going to have to identify where he's at and who's going to cover him. And what I think Charlie's going to try to do is put him in a position where he has to be covered by a linebacker. Now you win. If you throw that 3 or 4 yard hitch out and the linebacker's covering him, you know, he can make a turn and something maybe Wes Welker can't do as well is make a big play out of it. So, I think he really likes this kid. Whether the kid, you know, lives up to what Charlie is looking for from him is one thing, but he's going to have that opportunity, Sharon. This kid, they really like him. They like the idea of he's a block of clay, and they're going to shape him into kind of what they want him to be. And you're going to see a lot of movement with this kid. He's the guy that's going to move, and when he moves, you watch. The whole defense is going to move. You know, safeties will have to shift. The linebackers are going to have to shift. So when he moves, everybody moves, and that is an advantage for the offense because once you get those defenders kind of out of their spots, out of their comfort zones, out of where they want to be, out of where they started, then other things open up.
We always learn so much talking to you, Tim, and one of the things we learned in a previous conversation, you said the most important thing you have in an NFL week of preparation is reps. There's a limited amount of time. I think anybody who gets, you know, beyond a certain age starts realizing that time is your most precious commodity because there's never enough time in the day to get everything done. Well, that's true. There's never enough time in practice to get everything done you want. When you add him a cluster, to me, where he puts pressure from, you know, learning from you in previous conversations, it's going to be real difficult with the repetitions that teams have defensively. One, they've got to play some scout team defense for their offense to prepare. But also, when they go try to prepare for the Kansas City Chiefs, the different looks at McCluster and the different things that they can do with him is going to put a lot of pressure on them to have the reps, to work through the reps of all the different looks that this Chiefs offense can give them, they'll have a tough time being prepared for everything that Charlie Weiss will be able to throw at them.
You're exactly right, Seren. And, you know, reps are like cash. I mean, there's only a certain amount out there, and you know, you got to spend it during the week. And once you run out of them, you run out of them. One of the things that you're gonna see is the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, their playbook isn't going to be 500 pages thick. You know, they're not going to be so inundated with plays because Charlie Weiss is there. Charlie Weiss, and this is one of the things that I learned from him when I went to interview with him and sat down with him, is he doesn't have a lot of plays. But the one thing he's going to do is he's going to put you as a defender in an odd position. You're going to see a lot of different formations. You might see 10, 15, 20 different formations for one play. I mean, you know, where you everybody's in all these different spots. Whether you know you have a hip position with a H back, or you know you have a four wide look, or you have two backs, and you know, crazy enough, rotate another guy inside, make it three. You know, they're going to have all kinds of different looks, but they're all going to be easy for the offense because it's the same play. It's just different formations. And that drives defensive coordinators and defensive players crazy because, you know, they have to adjust to the formation. So the one thing that Charlie Weiss has always done a great job, and I believe he's going to do it again, is putting in formations that makes the defense hesitate. And once you hesitate in the NFL, the other team wins.
All right, Grunty, Tim Grunhardt is with us here in the Red Zone. Tim, last subject before we get to the Final Four, and that's Dwayne Bowe. We know he's created a little bit of a stir off the field with some of his comments. It appears like the football team is ready to move forward with that. Let's talk about him on the field. This would seem to be, I don't want to say make or break in the sense that he has to have a big year or he's going to be out of the NFL, but I would think that this is make or break in the sense that he's either going to be a Jag, a term in the NFL for it, just a guy. He's going to be just a guy at the wide receiver position and maybe bounce from team to team. Or if he steps up and has a big year, he could become that franchise caliber wide receiver that people talk about. You agree this is make or break for Dwayne Bowe?
Yeah, I do. And you know what? I've been very critical of Dwayne, but I really didn't know him. You know, And I'm not sure how much you've been able to interact with Dwayne.
Not much at all, really. I'm probably like you.
I haven't either. I got to sit down with him this weekend down in that golf tournament and, you know, really talk with him. And, you know what? He was embarrassed. You know, he was embarrassed. And he said, man, it just wasn't a great decision to make some of the comments he made. And I just looking in his eyes and kind of watching his body language, he really was. He didn't want to cause all that. You know, sometimes young guys say things just to say things. Heck, I've done it. You know, we've all done it. I remember being called in a carpet with Marty, telling him Marty's going to pay fines. We knocked out quarterbacks.
Right.
So, you know, people say things that they wish they could bring back. But the one thing that I, you know, saw in Dwayne Bowe this year, I think there's a level of maturity that came out of this situation where he realized that, you know what, hey, you know, I am not infallible. As a young player, you think you're infallible. As a young player, you really and truly believe that, you know, you can do anything you want and everything's always going to be there. And then you realize, you know, whether it was Haley or whether it was Charlie or whether whoever it was, sat down and said, listen, you know what, one more and you're gone. And I'm not sure if that happened or not, but whatever it was, whatever happened, you know, he's a different guy. He's a different guy. And he was an enjoyable person to be around. And, you know, I talked to Matt a little bit about it, and Matt thinks that this kid has so much potential. You know, he could be a top-notch wide receiver, but I think that maturity wasn't there for him. And hopefully this situation, you know, and coming out of, you know, believe me, I talked to him. He, a lot of people called him, and there was a lot of people upset with him. And I think he realizes that, hey, you know what, I need to mature a little bit. And I think he has through this situation. So I'm really excited to see this kid. I want to see this kid have success. I really do. If you would have asked me that 2 weeks ago, I would have said, you know what, no, he needs to go, or I really don't care what he does. But, you know, sitting down and talking with him and really getting to know him, I really and truly want to see this kid have success because he could be a really positive influence on this Kansas City Chief Chiefs team by the experience and the understanding of growing up under the spotlight.
Former Chiefs Pro Bowl center Tim Grunhardt is our guest here in the Red Zone. Timmy, before I let you go, Final Four, four quickies. Are you ready?
Okay. Yep.
Let's start with this. How long will Weiss and Cornell be the coordinators, both of them, in Kansas City? And I say this as a positive because I expect this team to play better. Their resumes are fantastic. I can see teams come calling and offering them head coaching jobs again in the NFL very soon. How long do you think the Chiefs will have with both those coordinators side by side?
3 to 4 years.
Oh, really? Okay. That's good. That's good news for Chiefs fans, that's for sure. All right. What will you miss about River Falls, Wisconsin?
Bozeman.
That's still your favorite?
Yeah, I like Bozeman. Mel's Midtowner was good.
Okay. All right. Good to know. We say adieu. It'll be, you know, I thought about the fact, will any of us, you spent a lot of the more years than me probably as a player and as a guy covering the team. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we'll ever be step foot in River Falls again.
You know what? When you're driving with your kids someday, you're going up to the Dells in Wisconsin, you might just try to take a little bit of Door County. You might just take a little side trip and drive through and say, this is where I used to hang out with you.
Yeah. Yeah, if I get close, I will certainly do it. I hope to be back there. It's a wonderful piece of history in for the Chiefs organization. Certainly a great piece of history getting ready to be written in St. Joe, but certainly that'll be a great piece of history there.
I'll never forget the first day we were in River Falls, Wisconsin. It was about 100 degrees, and we were on a bunch of floats or, you know, kind of it was a parade.
Right.
We were throwing buttons out to people, and, you know, by the time we got halfway through, you know, we were trying to nail people with these buttons, which was probably, and they were getting hit in the head and getting the face and the arm. They're all laughing like, hey, we just got a button, and we're nailing these people. So I don't know if that's a good story or not, but I do remember that that parade, that very first parade going through River Falls.
All right, will you repeat as state champs?
Well, we're going for 5A, so I'm hoping that we can at least make it to the Final Four.
Okay. I'll put that down. But you're going to have a salty team. There's no doubt about that. All right, and finally, what's your prediction on a record for the Chiefs this year?
9-7.
Very good.
I think 9-7. I think they make the playoffs. I agree with you. The AFC West is up in the air. A lot of changes, a lot of different problems with each team. So I think 9-7, maybe might just win that division.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Tim, great stuff as always. We always learn so much talking to you. We appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again real soon.
And I just want to tell everybody out there in KansasCityChief.com land, make sure I'll come up and say hello to me in St. Joe's.
Yeah, it should be fun. We look forward to it. We certainly will. Tim, great stuff. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweet punt to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With
Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday as we continue to break down the Chiefs as we get ready to head to training camp in St. Joe, Missouri, the next thing on the football schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs. Joining us right now to talk about the team, Chiefs outside linebacker Andy Studebaker is with us. Andy, how are you?
Doing really well.
How about it? OTAs in the rearview mirror, training camp ahead. Is that an exciting time, or is it like, oh my God, we got a lot of work to do?
Well, you know, it's a little of both. OTAs is always a good time of the year to get the team back together, work together, have a chance to get on the field a little bit, get in good shape, that kind of thing. It's always exciting then to break camp of OTAs, and we got about 40-some days here before training camp starts. And, you know, there's a little bit of anxiety there, always will be, and there's also a little bit of excitement because that means the season's closer. So, you know, it's a lot of hard work ahead, but the reason we play the game is coming up, and that's the season. So it's pretty exciting.
How much further along does it feel? I know you came in before last year's camp. You came in the year before, but your first camp last year, everybody's first camp with Todd Haley as the head coach. How much further along does the team feel here in year two with Todd Haley as opposed to year one?
Well, you know, it's when you get a chance to be in year two with the coaches, the relationships that we have are different now. Expectations, we kind of know what to expect. They know who we are, we know who they are, and so we sort of get a chance to pick up where we left off last year rather than start from ground zero. And because of that, if you know, we may be able to make more progress, we can communicate better, and that's just going to give us a better chance to win more games.
I'm not talking about schemes or inside information or anything when I ask this question. I'm just talking about overall the amount of difference there is between going from one defensive coordinator to now Romeo Crennel. The defense remains a 3-4, so the foundation of it would appear to be the same, but there can be a lot of nuances from one coordinator to the other. Just how much change is there when you make that switch and Romeo comes in?
Yeah, you know, it's a 3-4 defense, but, you know, you do a lot of the same things in many of these defenses, and some of the terminology is a little bit different. Every guy has his own little twist on what he calls things, and so, you know, learning those nuances and all of that and sort of someone else's different twists on a defense is important for us for communication purposes. And, you know, we're just working hard so that we can learn these things. And that way, when we get to training camp, we're just going to be reacting on the field and, you know, we're not going to have to think too much. And so, you know, it's different, but at the same time, there's a lot of the same things going on.
How did you react when you heard Romeo Crennel was being hired, a guy with that kind of resume?
You know, it's exciting. You know, obviously he's extremely passionate about the game, and you can tell he's going to do anything to help us win. He's a great coach, and he's worked with Coach Haley and a lot of these guys on the staff before, so the track record that he has speaks for himself. And so it's exciting. You know, he's been in some big games. He's won some big games, and hopefully we can make that happen here.
Have you seen any of his Super Bowl rings yet?
I have not, but sure we will in the future. Who knows?
Have you asked? Hey,
no,
Coach,
no.
Come on, bring out some rings. Let's see them.
No, I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, we went to the Hall of Fame as rookies, and we saw all of the, you know, all of the Super Bowl rings from number one until the most recent.
You notice they seem to be getting bigger.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad to have one, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you better lift some weights if you're going to wear one of those rings.
That's
because
exactly right.
It is a mountain. It is what the goal, it's the goal of every team that's out there. We mentioned Romeo Crennel, and we're talking to Andy Studebaker here in the Red Zone. We mentioned Romeo Crennel, but some continuity for you at the linebacking, specifically your position coach, Gary Gibbs, as he is back. How much easier does that make any transition that's there with Romeo?
Well, it makes it easier. It's just, you know, we're in year two again, just like we said about Coach Haley. And being in year two is great. We can build off of our relationship that we have. And, again, he understands the game and communicates it very well to us. And so knowing him and knowing that we're picking up right where we left off from last year, we can, you know, we're pedal to the metal. We're all about getting better. And we're talking about techniques and things that are just going to make us better. And he's having him in year two with all of us, it's just going to do nothing but make us better.
How much do you glean from guys like Mike Vrabel and even Tom Bahali, just from one player to another, little tips, little nuggets about, you know, if you're going to rush the passer, watch for this, or in your drops, do this? I mean, how much of the learning curve is player to player?
All the time. I would say, you know, it's just a guy like Mike especially and Tomba, they have a ton of experience playing in the game, and they've got a lot of Mike has a lot of big game experience, and so I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly asking questions, trying to make myself better because, you know, certain techniques have make people successful, and I'm all about pushing myself to get better here. And the more we ask questions from each other, the more we talk to each other, the better we communicate as a team, and the more we can be on the same page. And that just gives us a great chance to win. Having guys with experience who are also willing to teach the younger players is really key for us.
The all you guys, the three I mentioned, yourself and Vrabel and Tom Bahali, all play defensive end in college and yeah. Now make the move to linebacker. I mean, that seems like it doesn't seem like it's a move anymore. It seems like an apprenticeship. It's so many of the best outside linebackers in 3-4s played defensive end. I mean, that just seems to be where teams go and get the most production from it. You know, is it do you miss playing with your hand down on the ground as a lineman?
Not really. It's one of those things that it's a little awkward at first. You got to learn some new things as far as dropping. You got to learn a little more about coverages, stuff that you never knew and as a D-end or didn't have to know. But I love it. You know, it's exciting. You do a lot on the field. You're communicating a little bit more, and you know, there's a ton of stuff going on, so it keeps you sharp. And once you get past that awkward stage, you sort of never look backwards because you just don't notice it anymore.
Yeah, we're talking right now with Andy Studebaker, outside linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs. How often do people come up to you and talk to you about the Steeler game?
A little bit. You know, it's quite a bit, I would say. You know, people remember that. It was a fun day. It was a good day for the team, especially that win. And, you know, having that been my first start, it was fun for me as well. But sort of not as much as they used to. You know, the further away we get from that game, the further away the memories go. And so it's sort of one of those things that it was nice, but it's certainly not going to do anything for this season. And so I'm sort of pushing that on the back burner. We enjoyed that memory during the off season, but now that the season's on us again, it's time to make some more of those memories, you know, and not look towards the past, but look towards the future and see how we can win.
I'll get to the future with the San Diego Chargers here in a second, but coming from Wheaton College, I know you've answered a million of questions about coming from Wheaton. I've asked you probably, you know, half of those questions. but when, I'm curious, when did you feel like, okay, I've arrived as an NFL player? Was it being drafted, the fact that, you know, they found you at Wheaton and drafted you into the league? Was it when you got to Kansas City? Was it maybe that Steeler game? When did you feel like, I am an NFL player?
You know, I can't quite pinpoint that, and it's sort of like that transition from DN to linebacker that we were talking about. You know, I can't quite put my finger on the time that I felt comfortable, but it was sort of a process for me moving from college to the NFL, and doors opened, and I walked through them. Getting drafted was a door that opened. I walked through it, and that once I walked through it, I realized, you know, I felt like I was in the NFL, but then all of a sudden I realized that I was, once again, the small fish in the big pond. And so had to work my way up again. And then when I came to Kansas City, I had to learn a new defense again. And so it's hard for me to put my finger on the point that I felt like this is truly where I belong. But I definitely feel comfortable. I don't know exactly what day that was, but I think through hard work and through just showing up all the time and being here 100% of the time, it's allowed me to progress into that stage.
All right, before you get to the season, you've got to go through St. Joe, Missouri in training camp. It's a new location for the Chiefs, first time ever training in St. Joe. It's going to be hotter. Are you prepping any differently, knowing that it's going to be St. Joe and not River Falls?
Well, I don't know. I think the coaches have prepared us well. And if we just stick to what they've given us, Coach Clark and Coach Haley have really – we've pushed it hard this off season. We've changed some things, and I think we're ready for it. I think we're going to be ready for the heat and that kind of thing, and we're ready for the grind of training camp. That's why we've been here for the last 12 weeks, as an emphasis on strength and conditioning, getting in good shape, getting ready for the season. And as long as we continue doing that during this off period, as long as we do the things that they're asking us to do as far as strength and conditioning program, I don't see that it's going to be a huge problem.
The River Falls, I thought there was great support from Chiefs fans, but the numbers were clearly limited. It was a 6-plus-hour drive to get there. It wasn't the easiest spot. This is going to be about an hour drive for the fans. We figure to see a lot more Chiefs fans at camp. You went through camp with the Eagles, and theirs is in, what, Latrobe, is that right?
It was in Lehigh.
Lehigh, okay. Yeah. I'm sure because of the proximity, they had more fans than the Chiefs have had up in River Falls. Does that make things better? Does it make it, take the energy level up, or do you find that maybe it's a little harder to get your work done because the guys play to the fans a little more?
No, I don't think so. I think having more fans around is going to make it exciting, and I hope a ton of them come out and get a chance to watch practice, because it's exciting for the players. It's exciting for the fans. It's good for the community, and it's going to be a good time. I know that when I was in Philadelphia, there was a lot of people at practice in the thousands, and so it made it exciting for everybody, and, it's fun, and that's why we play the game is to have fun and to enjoy it and for the fans, and so I hope they come out and enjoy it.
All right, on September 13th, you are going to play the San Diego Chargers, Monday Night Football to kick things off. When you found out that you were going to be on the opening night of Monday Night Football, get the season started that way, what was your reaction?
Oh, we were pumped. Anytime you get a chance to play on Monday night, you watch Monday Night Football as a little kid, and it just seems like the atmosphere's cranked up another notch. And I can't wait to see what the Kansas City atmosphere is going to be like with these fans out here grilling out. I'm sure it's going to smell good, and with all the barbecue cooking, and it's going to be a nice night. And there's going to be a ton of excitement with the new stadium opening up and against the division opponent. It's going to be a big night for us. And, that's our first goal is win the first game, one game at a time. And so a lot of our, a lot of the excitement and energy comes from that Monday night game. But it's a chance for us to start the season off right.
For probably the last half dozen years, the Chargers have ruled this division. It's an opportunity to make a statement in that first game. Do you feel like this team is now in a position where, instead of talking about making progress and rebuilding and, the guys getting better, that it's time to start talking about playoffs with this organization?
No, it's too early to tell right now. We're just heading into training camp, but we're getting better, and that's the thing is let's get a little bit better each day. You don't have to go crazy each day, and you're not going to win the Super Bowl in one day, but it's a constant progress. It's a constant, let's show up, let's work as hard as we can, let's get better at something today. And if everybody on the team gets better at something each day, that discussion will take place down the road.
Have you taken a look at the schedule and kind of visualized it in your head, or do you just sit back and when the game comes up, then you'll worry about the opponent?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know the exact order of the schedule except for that first game, and that's where the focus is. It doesn't do any good to look down the road at game 8 if you don't look at game 1 first. So one step at a time for us, and like I said, showing up one day at a time is how we have to approach this thing, and if we do that, we give ourselves a great chance for success.
Andy Studebaker is with us here in the Red Zone. Before I let you go, Andy, final four quickies, and we'll start with this. Have you toured the new stadium?
I have not yet.
Do you plan on getting a little tour before the season gets going?
Well, I'd like to if the opportunity arises itself, but I'll get a chance sometime, and so I'm looking forward to that. I've heard it's really nice. I know that the construction teams have put a ton of work into it. I see them out there every single day. You can hear them working on it. So I'm excited to see what it looks like. It'll be good for the fans especially. So.
Are you surprised Donovan McNabb was traded by the Eagles, having been on that roster?
You know, it's hard to say. I haven't been there for 2 years. I don't know exactly what was going on. And, you know, they did what they needed to do, and I was in Kansas City trying to win games. So I have no idea what happened, honestly.
Okay. I just didn't know if you thought, wow, you know, the feeling of the fans when you were there was that that guy would never be traded. He'd be a franchise player, because it surprised most people.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise. I don't know what was going on there for the last 2 years because I've been here. So.
Okay. Most famous Wheaton grad.
Who is it?
Yep.
Probably Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. I made a list of four. I looked it up. Billy Graham, Wes Craven.
Yeah, Wes Craven.
Yeah, Donnie Nelson, the NBA GM, son of Don Nelson.
Yep, no doubt.
And Randy Fund were the four biggest that I could see there.
And Dennis Hastert probably was the Speaker of the House for a while.
Yeah, okay. And, well, there were a lot of smart types and a lot of, like, government types.
Right.
But being a guy who's just, you know, not that bright and just follows sports, their names didn't mean anything to me. I apologize.
Right.
I'm sure there are some really famous guys.
No doubt.
who maybe, you know, cured diseases and everything or solved massive economic problems. But I didn't recognize their names, so I apologize.
Yeah, I hear you.
I thought Billy Graham would probably be it. Finally, who impressed you at OTAs?
You know, it's hard to say to narrow it down to one guy. What I think I was impressed the most with was, you know, we had everyone here all the time, and that spoke a lot about where we're at as a team and about the commitment of the guys on this team is to have everybody here all the time working like we worked. We got a lot done, and I feel like everybody on the team made a ton of progress. And it's hard to put your finger on one guy and say, Here's who stuck out, because honestly, as a team, this was really impressive. And in my third set of OTAs, I've never seen something quite like we had here this year. And so it was really impressive as a team. And I think, it shows where we're at, and I think it shows the potential that we have. If we keep doing that kind of thing, then we're going to give ourselves a chance.
And there's clearly a commitment. When everybody shows up like that, it's clear that all the players are committed to one goal. And I agree with you. That's a great sign. For the fans this year from this football team. Andy, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you down the road.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks a lot.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise. With the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium, it's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans. I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Wrapping things up, we apologize we didn't get to any of your emails today, but great stuff out of Tim Grunhard and Andy Studebaker. You can always email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. We'll get to more of your emails next week, but great stuff from Tim Grunhard and Andy Studebaker. We appreciate them taking time out of their day to join us here in the Red Zone. Appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us. Remember, Chiefs season tickets are on sale right now. Broncos, Raiders, Chargers, Cardinals, Jags, Niners, Titans, Bills, Eagles, Packers. That is the list of teams that are going to be making their way into Arrowhead Stadium. You can get your tickets, 888-99-CHIEFS. That's 888-99-CHIEFS. If you want the numbers, write it down, 888-992-4433, or just click on tickets. The drop-down menu is there, and all the information you need to grab yourself some Chiefs season tickets for a year that I think is going to be a season challenging for a division title. The division is wide open, and I think this football team is right in the middle of it. Certainly the Chargers have to be the favorite as a four-time defending champs, but I think the Chiefs are going to be right there knocking on the door this year. So get your Chiefs season tickets right now. I want to thank everyone who helped us put the show together, Brad Young, Adam Pellegrino, and Curtis Siebold. This is Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.